Struggling with your faith? You're not the only one. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here on Joy 1250. If you have a smartphone, you can get the TuneIn app and find Joy 1250 on there as well. All right, folks, listen, a moment many of you have been waiting for back on our show again, an author many of you have fallen in love with, which is kind of creepy, New York Times bestselling author of Before Amen, The Power of a Simple Prayer. I've got about a 38-sentence introduction to this gentleman, but he needs no introduction because he is Max Lucado. Although many of us have called him Max Lucado for many years. The Lucado thing. Max, is that finished with? Is that so yesterday? We've all figured it out or what?
I tell you, I'll answer to anything.
I've heard that.
You just, however you want to say it.
No, but everybody wants to know. And I know this already. I know. It's Lucado, right?
Yeah, it is Lucado, but, you know, it some people even say Lucado.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
Those are the French ones from Quebec. Yeah,
those weirdos from Quebec. Max, welcome back to the show. You are revered and respected, two terms I am unfamiliar with in my own life. And the last time we spoke, I think we talked about you growing up on some piece of property where you couldn't see anything out the back window. Did you not grow up in a stretch of land where it was flat as?
Yeah, I grew up in West Texas. The landscape is more like a skillet. I mean, it was really flat. It's oil and cattle land, pretty desolate. But you know what? I really love that part of the world. And don't get back out there very often. Don't have any more family living there. Lots of good memories.
How many books now? This is number 374, is that right?
Well, I think it's the 34th or 5th nonfiction book.
Yeah. Well, look, a lot of people are fans, and they just want me to shut up and let you talk. I want to introduce you to our co-host for this interview, for this faithbooks.ca interview, Stephen Shane. By the way, your last name, is it Shane or Sheehan?
It's Shane.
Shane.
But
it is Shane.
But like Max, I get everything.
So there's a weird E in there that
exactly.
Doesn't need to be there.
That's right.
Stephen is from Bramley Baptist Church here in the Southern Ontario area. You're the big kahuna there, the big cheese.
That's what they call me.
Okay, all right. How long have you been there for?
Just over 2 years.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I'd like to introduce the two of you. Max, this is Stephen. Stephen, this is Max.
Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Max. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida today.
Oh, that's a rough life.
Yeah. A long way from you guys.
Thanks for bringing that up and rubbing it in. Appreciate it. Stephen,
it's pretty hot. I think where you are is likely more delightful.
Yeah, we have 3 feet of snow.
Oh, my.
No.
Take it back.
Just kidding. Stephen, let's start this interview off. It was something you said to me when I asked you if you wanted to join us for this interview. You actually said to me, and this is so serendipitous, and yes, that's a horrible word to use for a big dude like me. You said that Max's books had a profound impact on whether you were going to do the ministry thing or not and your whole spiritual journey and walk and life. And
yeah.
You know, so let's just start off this whole interview by sucking up. Go for it.
Well, when Drew called me only a couple of days ago and
asked
me to be on the show, I'm thinking to myself, I'm way too busy to be doing something like this. And then he said who was on it. And I thought, okay. Your book, 6 Hours, One Friday, I was in seminary at the time. I was going through a tough time in my life. My father had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and someone just happened to give me a copy of that book. And that book ministered to my heart in such a powerful way. And, I mean, you've written more than 30 books. It must be coming close to 30 years, isn't it?
It is. I think my first book came out in 85, so yeah, your calendar's right on target.
So you must hear this all the time, don't you? I mean, do you get this impression of all you, these folks whose lives have been really?
Are you asking if he has if he has fans that fall over the fawn?
Well, I'm not quite a stalker,
Max,
but you know,
you're so awesome, Max. Is that true? Do people creep on you all the time like that?
Well, I tell you, I there's two things I can honestly say when somebody thank you, Steve, when you give kind feedback like that. One is that. I really think that book could have been written better. You know, I've gone back. The worst thing I do is go back and read my stuff and say, oh, boy, I could have done that a little bit better. But then second, I really am surprised. I love to write. I do. I love to collect thoughts. I'm a pastor of a church, and I just do what other preachers do. I just collect thoughts, and I get the opportunity to put them on paper. And I'm really grateful. I really am. I remember I wrote that book back in the mid to late 80s. I was living in Brazil at the time and had just gotten into writing. And my publisher thought that was a crazy title for a book, but we had some good discussions and they stuck with it. And it's had a good shelf life. I'm very grateful.
Powerful. Now, you preach through all the books that you write, is it?
Yes, sir.
And so these are sort of,
I do.
These come out of your preaching series that
they
you
do
at your church?
They do, yeah. And you know, a lot of people will ask, where do you get the ideas for the sermons? Mm-hmm. And I say the same thing where do you get ideas for books? And I say, well, every pastor has to come up with ideas for sermons, and so I'm not doing anything different. And my hunch is if the sermon series is well-received, that it'll make for a good book. Typically, the sermon series will be longer than the book, and I'll cut some of the fat off and maybe bring in some extra illustrations or stories. But it's basically a sermon, like this book we're talking about today, Before Amen. That was a sermon series that I presented to the church about 2 years ago.
Mm. Max, I really hope no one else has been tacky enough to pose a question the way I'm about to pose this to you, okay?
I love the way you set things up.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. So here's the deal. Prayer of Jabez. I was not a big fan of that book, not because I didn't think it was necessarily heretical or, you know, theologically stupid or whatever. I just thought, really, you're building a whole campaign around this little verse and taking things, maybe out of context, but it was the campaign, it was the whole, you know, there was fridge magnets and bracelets and frisbees and underwear, I don't know, all sorts of things, you know. Increased my territory. It just got really weird, right? Oh. And then I saw this book, and I thought, now, hold on. Are you basing a whole book on this tiny little prayer? Father, you are good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dude, if I see that on a magnet on a fridge, I'm going to lose it.
Well, you about prepare yourself. I have a hunch. You know how these things go.
So tell me, no, seriously, fill in the blanks, please, because... Yeah. I need this help.
Well, yeah, I did. I start off the book talking about the struggle I've had with prayer all my life. I really have. I've battled to be consistent. I've been amazed at people who could tell me about their wonderful prayer life. And the thing that helped me more than anything else was this study that we did as a church on prayer. And I read through all of the prayers in the Bible. I think it was all of them, all that I could find, and condensed all of the prayers in the Bible down to a single prayer. And that is the prayer that I've used for quite some time to guide my thoughts. I tend to, my thoughts just go crazy. I tend to think of everything I need to do except pray. And I get frustrated. And so I needed help. And so this is a book for prayer wimps. It's a book about prayer for people who struggle to pray. People have already looked at this book and said it's too lightweight for me. And I say, good for you. You're a prayer giant. Go get them. Read something else. But this is a book for those of us who struggle to pray and who struggle to focus. And it's simply a tool. If you take all of the prayers of the Bible, I think all of the prayers would fit under these six stanzas. Father, you are good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm trying to equip people with a tool with which they can pray maybe a little more biblically, a little more balanced, have their thoughts go where Scripture would want us to go in their prayers. And so that's what it is. It's a book on prayer for people who struggle with prayer.
I mean, prayer is one of those key essential areas of the faith, and there's some really amazing things in your book that you write. I love the one sentence that says, "This is the promise of prayer. We can change God's mind. His ultimate will is inflexible, but the implementation of his will is not. He does not change in his character and purpose, but he does alter his strategy because of the appeals of his children." And that's a powerful thought when you think about it.
It's an astounding thought, isn't it? And the promises that are attached to prayer. You know, ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Anything you ask in my name, you will receive. Mm-hmm. These are stunning, stunning promises that are not attributed to any other activity. Jesus never said, have committee meetings and it will be given to you, or even go door to door and it'll be given to you. There's something that happens when we talk to God that engages the activities of heaven. And I found that to be such a rewarding and exciting thought. The wonder of Scripture is that this isn't limited to just a few people, but this is an invitation for every person.
Oh, okay, hold on, Max. You know the pushback on those verses you just quoted there. The pushback is, really? You're going to say, ask and you shall receive? You're going to quote that verse to me while I'm standing at my mother's casket and I prayed my face off for her for 3 years to get rid of this cancer? You're going to throw that verse at me?
Yeah. And that's one of the problems with prayer, and that's the problem of unanswered prayer. What I tried to unpack in the book, and I hope I did it sufficiently, is that really the purpose of prayer is not to ask God to do what I want, but to ask God to do what is right.
Why? Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. There's another scripture.
He will.
And so I've delighted myself in the Lord like crazy, and yet my mom or my son or my nephew died.
What he'll do, though, is he'll adjust those desires. Desires there doesn't mean he'll do the thing you want him to do. It's that he'll adjust our heart to trust him in the thing that he wants us to do. You know, we're quick in studying about prayer to look at those immediate answers to prayer, like water into wine or Moses praying for the
children. That was a good answer, by the way.
But, you know, there's the story, I think every bit is valid, of Mary and Martha sending for help for their brother Lazarus, who was sick, and Jesus delayed. Instead of coming quickly, he delayed. And that's a picture, I think, of how God does the right thing instead of the thing we want. Ultimately, we know the answer to that prayer, right? Mm-hmm. Lazarus was raised from the dead in the story. And again, prayer is simply trusting God. Lord, change my heart. Here's what I want, but what I really want is what you want.
And I think you address that well in your book. You talk about the fact that, you know, sin and sickness was our idea. It was a result of our actions.
Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, in your chapter on Heal Me, that sometimes God heals you instantly, sometimes it's gradually, sometimes the ultimate healing is just going home to be with him. I was struck at how personal this book was. It seems like you've called upon a lot of stuff that's close to home in this book, from your own church or from your own life.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I shared both the answered prayers and the struggle to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell the story of how our church really began to take off when we as a church began to pray. But I also shared the story of how, in that chapter on healing, how to this day, my right hand gets as stiff as a 2x4. When I write, I still write everything longhand, and I've prayed about that. My wife has prayed. The church has prayed. I've been anointed. I've been prayed over. I've done everything because it's tough. It's tough to pick up a pen and try to write and the hand hurt.
And you have this thing called a computer nowadays, you know.
Well, no, maybe that's the answer to prayer is move forward.
No, listen, I'm telling you, computers, that's from Satan. Those things.
So I get that. All of us do. All of us have an unanswered prayer in our life. And that's part of the struggle with prayer. It is. And I sure do not want to give a quick and easy answer and say you can be sure that God will answer every prayer in the way you want. But I think it's safe ground to say that he will do what is right.
Okay, so the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Explain how, see, to me, there's a real close parallel between that definition and prayer. Mm. Do I sound like a prayer pessimist? I am. I'm a massive prayer pessimist. And you talk about a prayer wimp. I don't even register on that category. I don't know whether it started, Max, because of my ADD, and I just, dear Lord, I just want to thank you for it. Wow, look at that squirrel. I just can't focus long enough for this kind of stuff, I had to go on one of those shut your yap weekends with a bunch of guys, no one can talk to anybody, retreat thingies, candles and kumbaya stuff, and I just about put a bullet in my head. It was just horrible to be that still, that quiet, that long. The prayer thing, naturally, I don't get it, Max. Mm-hmm. And then when I see people who claim that God answered prayer for X, whether it's a healing or I won the lottery, praise God, I won the lottery, or praise God, we won the football game, thank you, Mr. Tebow. I just don't have the patience for that, Max. Hmm. Do I sound like a jerk?
Well, you sound like you need to read my book.
Oh, nice. Well done.
No, I get it. I do. I don't think it's my job as a writer or a pastor to explain the mystery or the perplexities of prayers, especially unanswered prayers. I mean, I really trust God to handle his own, if there's some bad press or he's not come as quickly as those who would want him to do so. Here's where I keep coming back to, though, is that God's track record in prayer is pretty remarkable. And the power of our prayers does not depend upon the way we say our prayers, the length of our prayers, the eloquence of our prayers. The power of our prayers simply depends upon the God who hears our prayers. Mm-hmm. If his heart is good, then our prayers are good. Mm-hmm. The only prayers that Jesus criticized in Scripture were prayers for self-promotion. And, that nauseated him when someone would stand out on the street corner to say prayers to be seen or to be heard. And that nauseates us too. What I find is that there's great hope in the power of a simple prayer. And if you, people like you and me, Drew, who struggle, who when we wake up in the morning, we say amen because we dozed off during our prayers. That's okay, because the power of the prayer does not depend on the way we say it or where we say it, but upon the one who hears it.
Folks, you are listening to a segment on the Drew Marshall Show. We've so intelligently entitled A Radio Host and a Pastor Walk Into a Book. This is a faithbooks.ca segment, and we're on the phone with Max Lucado. He is a New York Times bestselling author of Before Amen, The Power of a Simple Prayer. And joining us, co-hosting this faithbooks.ca interview, is Stephen Shane from Bramley Baptist Church, bramley.org. Stephen, I asked you to go through this book, and you knew mm-hmm. you were going to interview Max. You went through the book. You've mm-hmm. got about 37 pages dog-eared. You've got to have something else to throw at this guy before we say goodbye to him.
You pick up in the Lord's Prayer on the power of forgiveness. You didn't really address the problem of unforgiveness.
Oh, nice.
Is that something that...
Did you forget that, Max?
The problem of unforgiven.
Jesus kind of ends a prayer, by saying, if you forgive men their sins, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive men their sins, there's consequences.
But I'm going to guess the reason you didn't get into that in this book because that's a boatload of theology mm-hmm. behind that, is there not?
That's why you have Steve on the program.
I think that's a huge deal because. I mean, that kind of intimates or suggests quite strongly that if we're walking around with unforgiveness, then God is looking at us going, oh, yeah? Well, I ain't going to forgive you. Is that true, Max?
You want me to take a shot at it?
Sure.
Well, I don't think that can be true, because if that is true, then we're saved by what we do and not what God did.
So the Scripture is wrong?
No, the big idea, Scripture is driven by big ideas, and big ideas influence smaller ideas. And the big idea in Scripture is that we're saved by grace through faith and not by works, so that no one can boast. That's a huge idea. I mean, that's the 800-pound point of grace. And so we interpret difficult passages like the Lord's Prayer passage on forgiveness in the light of the big idea. So it cannot mean that my forgiveness depends on my ability to forgive somebody. If that's true, I got to tell you, I'm in trouble. I really am. There's a couple of people right now I'm ticked off at.
I think it speaks to the fact that unforgiveness, I think, has consequences.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the point of it, that bearing unforgiveness in your heart does have consequences, which include spiritual consequences.
Absolutely. And we will feel as forgiven as we give forgiveness.
Amen.
If we want to experience God's forgiveness, then we need to be very quick to give forgiveness. And so I can block the joy of forgiveness that comes into my own heart just by refusing to forgive somebody else, which is a good reminder. After we get this interview over, I'll probably need to call somebody else.
Man. Okay, apparently you're coming up to this neck of the woods. We've been promoting this thing the whole time. Apparently people can come and meet you, and you can do the whole autograph thing. You know, every time I get somebody says, hey, can I get an autograph from you? First of all, it's usually in the court system somewhere. And secondly, it's just an awkward thing. How do you graciously say to people, that's weird, why do you want my autograph?
I don't say that's weird.
Oh,
why do you want
okay.
my autograph?
All right, maybe that's just me.
I just say thank you, sign the book, and if it encourages them to read it, God bless them.
MaxLucado.com. MaxLucado.com. Folks, he's been on all sorts of fantastic news outlets, the New York Times, USA Today, Publishers Weekly, Today's Show. By the way, when you're on Today's Show, are you on with my very good friend, Kathy Lee?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
What a treat that'll be.
Yeah. What? Wait, hold on. That'll be. Have you not been on with Kathy Lee already, or are you going on soon?
I think that's next week.
Oh, good. Okay. Yep. Well, please say hello to her for me. She was just on our show again a couple
okay.
of weeks ago.
Okay. I certainly will.
And can you check the wine glass to see if it's real wine or fake wine? Because she told me it's fake, and I don't believe her. Okay, Max?
It was water.
Okay.
She prayed.
Good, good. Oh, stop it. Really? That's how you're going to end this? Max Lucado, you're hilarious. Buddy, thank you so much for joining us again.
Steve, thank you too, my friend. And
thank
Drew,
you.
I really appreciate the time.
All right, man. Take care. Bye, Max.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, Max Lucado on the Drew Marshall Show. Boy, the guy can write. I mean, right, Steve? He is an excellent
amazing.
Author.
Yeah.
I really get the impression that there's a lot of preachers out there, because he's a preacher as well, that they just copy and paste.
That's funny you say that, because I did that. When I started out in ministry, I would literally take chapters of his book, and I would stand up and I would preach them on a Sunday
morning.
That's
illegal!
I know it is. It's totally illegal. But, in the early days, that's how
funny.
I learned to do it. And,
yeah.
and as a result of it, I became a storyteller. And, and storytelling is a powerful way of communicating truth.
Wow. Yeah. So it's not just Mark Driscoll, it's into plagiarism.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make
we
sure.
We all do it.
All right.
That's right.
Well,
should
we call Max back and let him know?
Well, yeah, we should totally rat Stephen out. I think that's the perfect time to do that.
Folks, I don't do it anymore.
Stephen, well done.
Thank you, man.
And I'm really, really glad it was you that was able to do that interview with Max.
Thank you for this invitation.
The thing I can sort of compare it to is me having the chance to interview Mike Iaconelli. Do you remember Mike Iaconelli?
Yes.
Oh, that would have been just so great.
Wittenberg Door.
Yeah. Mm. So his book, Messy Spirituality, I read that on my flight home from Australia when I thought I was going to be an author and realized I was too ADD to write, so I did a radio show. And it would have been good for me to interview him. I hope that was the same kind of a thrill for you.
It was great.
To chat with Max.
It was wonderful.
And was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We forward in this generation, triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption.
Beloved pastor and best-selling author Max Lucado is coming to Toronto on Friday, October 24th at Church on the Queensway. Discover the power of simple prayer as Max shares from his new book, Before Amen. The event is free, so bring your family and meet Max after the show while he signs your books. Discover the power of simple prayer on Friday, October 24th at 7:30 p.m. at Church on the Queensway. For more information on Max Lucado and his books, visit faithbooks.ca.